Thanks, Chairman. I'd like to start by quoting from the letter that the Alcoa, then Alcoa CEO, Alain Belder, sent to Hugh Morgan back in November 2001, when the whole takeover demerger issue was up and running. And it's a brief quote from the then CEO of Alcoa. WMC only holds a 40% minority interest in AWAC, which is subject to Alcoa's virtual complete control, is subject to an absolute prohibition on transfers to a certain class of buyers, and is further subject to Alcoa's right of first refusal in the event of a proposed transfer to any buyer. On the subject of dividends, WMC has a vote if AWAC proposes to distribute less than 30% of annual net income, but not otherwise. Moreover, Alcoa's control and management rights will remain completely unaffected by your proposed demerger. Now, I guess the argument I've been raising for four of the last five AGMs before today is that we are a post-box company that doesn't do anything, that doesn't have control over anything in reality, yet we continue to present ourselves and be paid as if we're some sort of large, real, normal company with thousands of employees. John can't influence the aluminium price, and John can't influence Alcoa's running of AWAC, as that comment from Alain Belder says. So I remain perplexed as to why we continue to have a large-ish board paid full freight, the CEO on $1.5 million a year, a finance director on $850, the general counsel on $600. And my specific question to you is, why did we feel the need to replace John? I mean, we could have saved ourselves $1.5 million a year. We've got John Pizzi on the board. He's an old Alcoa guy. The things we've got to manage are basically, you know, financials and annual reports. So we need the company secretary. We need the finance guy. And then we need a couple of directors who've got a good relationship with Alcoa and can try and encourage them one day to make a bid. And John's that guy. So I fully support getting John on the board. But I just can't work out why we've had to hire another CEO and pay him $1.5 million a year to do not much. So why did you not consider saving us shareholders the money? I mean, it was costing $3.5 million in 2001 to run this show. Now it's costing $12.6 million. The share price has only gone up 21% from the first trade to now. We've underperformed in share price performance, and we're top-heavy in management, board, and your remuneration report copped a 42% against vote last year. You were sent a message on that. You've made a few changes, but I think it just all seems a bit peripheral. So why didn't you think we could get by without going for another full freight CEO costing us $1.5 million a year when we are, as you described back in 2003, a post-box company with a handful of employees who, as Alan Belder says, has no control over much at all?
Thank you, Mr. Main, for your comments. Just on a couple of facts, I certainly don't recall ever referring to Alumina as a post-box company. You specifically referred to, and I'm assuming you're quoting accurately, Alain Belder's letter, because I haven't got it in my mind, but you mentioned in that dividends are restricted to 30% of profits unless there's unanimous agreement to have higher dividends. I think it's worth noting that in the year just gone by, dividends, I think, were about 130% of profits. That came about due to the agreement which we reached on funding with Alcoa. This was reached by John and his people. And it was done, as I said earlier, by their persuasive engagement with Alcoa to ensure that an appropriate outcome was reached. I think that I'm satisfied, and I know my colleagues are satisfied, that we get very good service out of our management. I go back to what I said earlier. This is a $20 billion enterprise. We as shareholders, that is Alumina, own 40% of that. Where you've got a company which is the manager and the principal owner, that's the 60% owner, I would say it requires the minority partner to be extra vigilant to ensure that the majority partner does not in fact use its position to diminish the returns to the minority. And that is, in our view, is what our management has done very effectively over many years. And we're satisfied that the structure which we've got in place should continue into the future. And as I said earlier, John Marley performed that role admirably, and we as a board have got great confidence that John Bevan will lead that forward in a like manner.